When I was in Bible college, two men really stood out that made a huge impact on my life. One was evangelist Tom Williams. He's now with the Lord. The other was Dr. Wendell Kempton, who became the president of the Association of Baptists for World Evangelism. And these two men greatly impacted my life. And I'm thinking of Dr. Wendell Kempton, something he said when he was preaching in one of the chapels. He mentioned that you guys are going to go out of here and you're going to become pastors, some of you and many of you, and you're going to go out of here. And he said, some of you are just going to go for that church in the wildwood, just in the plain, just the simple, easy, sleepy church, and you'll be there in that plain. He said, but some of you will say, now, therefore, give me that mountain. And you will climb that mountain of revival, and you will be going hand over hand as you get toward the top of the mountain. He said, you're going to slip, a rock's going to fall, you're going to cut your hand, you're going to roll backward and tumble down, but you're going to get back up and keep climbing that mountain. And he said, you're not going to quit until you get that mountain of revival. And that's where some of you are tonight. You've failed in your life. You've heard the preaching of the Word of God, and you've been inspired to climb the mountain of revival. You've been inspired to grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You've been inspired to win souls and to touch lives and not to live an ordinary life, but an extraordinary life, realizing that revival is an extraordinary outpouring of the Holy Ghost of God to take a subnormal Christian experience and bring us to normal New Testament Book of Acts power and practice. And you can't give up on that, even though you failed and the devil told you, just stay down. Don't try to keep climbing. Just stay down and just don't try to go forward. You just stay. I don't believe God has me here so we can just stay in the valley. I don't believe God has me pastoring this church so that we can just stay and live an ordinary life. No, I believe that God wants us to make progress in the faith and to continue for our great joy in the faith. And so that's why we're here. And so tonight I want to preach on don't stop until you get to the top. Don't stop until you get to the top. And the top is the mountain of revival that we have been talking about. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. And I'm thinking of Caleb. When he got to the promised land, he was 86 years old. Can you imagine that? 86 years old. And Caleb said to Joshua, after being, listen to this, 40 years in the wilderness with the congregation that was under chastisement, that was under God's judgment. And he spent 40 years going in circles in the wilderness with that congregation, even though he himself, his heart was in the promised land. And God preserved him, and God preserved Joshua through that 40 years of chastisement. And then he was about 5 years having gone with a younger congregation that were ready to go and get God's blessings. You know, I saw a guy that was in our church about 50 years ago. And I saw him tonight. He's still walking around. You know, he's like this, but he's walking around. And I saw him in the grocery store, and I said, why don't you come out and see your old church? I said, I'll introduce you as one of the charter members. And I gave him a track, you know, and he went out, and I remember very well that family, and I remember that early church, and a lot of those folks aren't inheriting the blessings that God has for them. And thank God for a younger congregation that really wants it. And I see such a difference. And I believe that's what Joshua saw from the generation of the Moses congregation to the Joshua generation. I believe that's what Caleb saw. And Caleb, after about 45 years, he said to Joshua, now, therefore, give me that mountain. And he knew it would not be an easy task. He knew he would have to go against giants. He knew that he would have to go up to the mountain of Hebron there. And he knew he would have to fight at 86 years old, but he did it. He did it. He conquered. And I believe that God wants me. I believe God wants you. I believe God wants the adults, the teenagers, the young kids to don't stop till you get to the top of what I've been preaching on, which is this mountain of revival. And it's in Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going on to the higher heights of this message. And so please take your Bible, Ephesians 3 and verse 18 and verse 19 tonight. And I want to preach on don't stop till you get to the top. And notice what verse 18 says. It says, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. He's talking about the love of God in Christ Jesus, that you may be able to have a mental grasp of it. You know, wherever the grace of God goes, wherever the Holy Spirit of God goes, wherever there's a gospel understanding of the Word of God, it always lifts people's intellect. They don't stay dumb and stupid in their brains. They have a lift in their intellect. The Bible says, gird up the loins of your mind. Christianity is not just a matter of an emotion or rah, 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 sis, goom, bah. No, Christianity is a comprehension in your mind of the great doctrines of grace, the great doctrines of the Word of God. And there's something wrong with a person that just lives on hype, and they go from one hype to the next and one high to the next at one, you know, great preacher to the next, and they themselves are not chewing on the Word of God and comprehending and fathoming the great love of God in Jesus Christ. And I wonder, are you doing that? And the Bible, we've been studying in Sunday school. I encourage you to get to Sunday school. Study the Word of God. We've been studying the book of Romans. And we've gone chapter 1 all the way through chapter 11. And it's all about unfolding God's gospel of grace. The good news of God's grace. And many people can't chew on that. Many people are not able to eat meat. I'm talking about the meat of the Word of God and chew on it. You know, you got to have good teeth to eat meat. Amen. You can't gum meat. A baby is not very good without its teeth in chewing meat. It can basically suck in the milk, right? It's mother's milk. I know mothers don't like it when babies get teeth and they're nursing. And I'm saying, when you get those teeth, you're ready to chomp on meat. And so I'm saying tonight that God wants you to chew the Word of God. Too many people today, they got their minds out of gear, man. And they're just not able to chew on the Word of God. And the Apostle Paul is saying, you know, I'm praying for you guys there at Ephesus, that you grasp the doctrines of grace. When Paul got saved, he met Jesus on the Damascus Road. But he took 3 years in the desert of Arabia. And there Jesus unfolded to him the great doctrines of grace that he unfolds for the Roman church there in Romans. And do you grasp that? Do you have a full assurance of understanding of the gospel of grace? And we've been chewing on some deep meat. Romans 9, Jesse, that's deep meat. Amen. Remember when God began to open your eyes to Romans 9. And Brother Z, I believe you were sharing it with him. He began to see it. See, you need a teacher, and you need somebody that would enlighten you. And that's called the Spirit of God. See, and too few people are studying, and not just studying, but the Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt what? Meditate therein day and night. And if you're not meditating in the doctrines of the Word of God, you're not going to be a strong Christian. And I remember Dr. Charles Ware, he got into the book of Romans, and he was studying the book of Romans, and he was getting blessed. And man, I said, man, you got revival. But revival wasn't just an emotional thing. It was a mental thing with him. He was grasping the love of God and the grace of God, how God unfolds his grace in the Bible to us. When it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, that doesn't mean God found Noah faithful. That meant God blessed Noah with unmerited blessings. Do you realize the blessings of the grace of God? I'm talking about foreknowledge. Do you understand it? Do you understand unconditional election? Do you understand predestination to adoption? Do you understand justification? Do you understand union with Christ? Do you understand, my friend, these doctrines of the grace of God, reconciliation, the blessings of being married to Christ? I'm talking about. I'm talking about final salvation and glorification, all by the grace of God, all by the love of God. Do you understand the discriminating grace of God? Wow. A lot of fundamentalists don't get it. They don't chew on that meat. That meat's not for everybody. I've got meat that you know not of, Jesus said. But it's part of revival. And the greatest revivalist chewed on these great doctrines of the gospel of the grace of God. And when you get into it, it makes such a difference. I know Awilda Rodriguez, she loves to come to Sunday school. Awilda loves to get into the doctrines of the grace of God, and she follows it. She was telling me that she's got some people from her mom's fellowship, and they come, and she says, I feel, Pastor, like kicking them right out of the house. She said, the things they're sharing with my mother are not right. They're not solid doctrine. They're not helping my mother. They're not giving her the grace of God. And I've been giving her the grace of God and praying for her. And she said, I just feel like that these people are not really her friends. They're like Job's counselors. They're not helping her. And I'm saying that God wants you, listen to me, to get to the point where you love the doctrines of the grace of God. You actually enjoy it. You spend your time chewing on it, meditating on it. That's when you really get blessed. That's when you're climbing the mountain of revival. What is your mind occupied with all day long? What is your mind occupied all week long? You know, you get to love a subject. My wife went to Palm Beach Community College. Burt Reynolds went to that same school. My wife used to date Burt Reynolds. No, I'm just kidding you, not really. But she went to that school, and Burt Reynolds and her had something in common. They liked P. Duncan, what was his name? P. Duncan something. He was a professor there. She didn't want to preach in church, I guess. He was a professor there, P. Duncan, and he taught classes on Shakespeare, and he loved Shakespeare. And that's understandable. He's a professor, but he had students at Palm Beach Community College, college-age kids, literally clinging on every word that he was saying about the subject of Shakespeare. And when the bell went off and they had to go to another class, they wouldn't move. They just sat there. He had to get them out of there. They love the subject, and that can even happen when somebody loves something. I remember Dr. Rembert Carter, University of Edinburgh, PhD. He loved to lecture on Spurgeon and on Baptist foundations and Western civilization, and I used to go to his classes just to spend time with him. He used to have classical music and put headphones on, and he would be studying original sources of all these things. And boy, his lectures were powerful, but he was into it, my friend. God help us when we have preachers that aren't into the Bible. The Bible isn't into them. And you're going to have sermonettes for Christianettes. And we don't need that, because God's love and grace is to be studied. It's to be understood. It's to be often thought about with pleasure. And that's the way the great saints were in the early America. That's what made America great. That it's the great preachers of the first great awakening, the second great awakening, that loved the word of God and the doctrines of the grace of God and the love of God. And that's what he's saying here, that number one, the mountain of revival, the top of it, you're getting toward the top of it when you're scaling to the level of comprehending? Have you been scaling the mountain of revival and now you're grasping, you're comprehending with all the saints, not just the preachers, not just the ones that are the leaders in the church, but the regular members of the church? That's the way they were in the days of the Great Awakening, and they would be into comprehending these things. And I wonder, you know, as we think about this, by your scaling the level of comprehending the grace of God and the love of God, how often do you meditate upon the love of Christ in Isaac Watts' hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, on which the Prince of Glory died. My richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride." You know, if you've ever climbed a mountain and you're getting way up there, and you get to a point where it's a lookout place, you take a break from climbing. You've been climbing and climbing, and you take a break and you survey the landscape below and the wonderful view. Now you're way up there, man, and you can see far off in the distance, and what a sight it is, and you just begin to survey it. That's what God is talking about here. You take time to survey the love of God and the grace of God. You take time to praise Him for it and to thank Him for it and just to talk to Him about it and to praise Him for it. He wants you to do that. That's not something you should have a guilt trip about. No, that's something that you need to be doing. And I know Brother Hiles says, you know, all these things, and shame on you for not witnessing. And yes, you should. But I'm just saying, you need to take these things in and comprehend. Don't stop till you get to the top by scaling to the level of your comprehending. Number two, don't stop till you get to the top by your scaling to the level of experiencing. Look at verse 19 of chapter 3. I'll read it. The first part, it says, and, not just comprehending, that's verse 18, but verse 19, and, see the and there, the conjunction, and what? To know the love of Christ. That's more than just what I've just been talking about. That's more than what I've just been preaching about. That's another level now. And that actually, my friend, we've now got to the top of the mountain. We've hit the summit. And now he's experiencing knowing the love of Christ. And when he says knowing the love of Christ, the word is gnosko and epigenosko. And what does that mean? It means to literally experience firsthand this love of Jesus Christ, this love of God in Jesus Christ. We think about the men of the first awakening, the second great awakening, even the third great awakening at the turn of the century. We think of a man like D.L. Moody that, you know, he was in New York City and these ladies had been praying for him to have a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit and a filling and an empowering. And that is something that God gives us firsthand knowledge by the Holy Ghost of how much God loves us, how much Jesus loves us. And often it comes during times of persecution and times of tribulation in the history of the church, in time of great need. But nevertheless, this is something that not everybody has, and not everybody has it all the time, just like a lot of people don't chew on the grace of God like they should, and they haven't even climbed to that height, and they're not there. Perhaps you're not there tonight, but I ask you to get back up. If you've fallen down, get back up. Get clean through the blood of Christ. Get back on your climbing that mountain and comprehending, and say, "Lord, even that's not enough. I want to know experientially your love." And you say, "Where's that?" Well, let me read it to you in Romans 5. He says in Romans 5, we glory in tribulation. You know what that means? When you're going through persecution, when you're going through trouble, you not only glory in it unlike the Israelites who gloried after the Red Sea was split. They were not glorying in the tribulation of the Egyptians coming down. You're supposed to glory in it. But not only in it, but because of it. Because the tribulation is meant to bless you. So you glory because of the tribulation. You welcome it as a friend in your life. You thank God for it. Why? Because it is engineered by God to get you to get to the top of the mountain. Don't stop, beloved, till you get to the top. And I don't want to stop preaching on revival until we experience it. Boom, revival's here, our first pastor said. I want to be able to tell you it's here in my life. And I want you to be able to say it's here to others in your life. Don't stop till you get to the top. Don't claim you're there when you're not there either. I'm not going to do that. But don't stop till you get there. He says, we glory, though, in tribulation also. Listen to this. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience means keep climbing till you get to the top. And patience, experience. Experience means that you have a fire-tested faith, that you don't drop out. You stay with it. I thank God for our deacons, Deacon Joe and Deacon Steve and Deacon Bobby Majeski and Deacon Jesse Kresge. They got fire-tested faith. All these men. And they don't stop. And they don't drop. That's experience. They've experienced tribulation, and they have practiced patience and didn't quit. Hey, thank God for those kind of saints. And imitate that faith. And then it says, and experience hope. And you know what hope is. That means if God brings you through all this, he's going to bring you revival. That means if God brought you through all this, he's going to bring you, Brother Joe, to final salvation. It's not a fable. It's not a made-up fable. It's real. Hope! But it doesn't stop there. That's all doctrinal. That's all comprehension. But it says, and hope maketh not ashamed. That means it doesn't let you down just with understanding. That means it doesn't just ever let you down and disappoint you. Hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. It's an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in your heart that makes you feel the love of God. I think of a guy dating a girl, and he may know by her actions, well, she loves me, it seems, but I'm just not sure. And then she just declares her love to that guy and says, I love you. And he goes, woo! See, that's what we're talking about here. God letting you know personally, I love you. And what a wonderful thing that is. I remember when I first got saved, I went to with my best friend, and we went out witnessing, and he was from Assembly of God Church. I went to his church and went forward many times to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. But you know what? I really didn't grow until I comprehended the grace of God in a Baptist church in Muskegon, Michigan. Independent Fundamental King James Baptist Church. And I began to grow under Dr. Mark Jackson and his preaching and teaching of the Word of God. You know, we need a head of a Baptist, the heart of a Pentecostal, Billy Sunday said, and the feet of a Jehovah Witness. But I'm talking about the love of God And it goes beyond just a human comprehension of understanding and having pleasure in the doctrines of grace. And we need to stand by faith upon those things. And thank God for that. And that's what Awilda has. And she wants her mother. But we can go beyond that, where God will pour out his love in our heart. And it's kind of like the difference between what we have now and what we'll have when Jesus actually shows up and we see him face to face. What we have now is immediate revelation. We see through a glass darkly. We see through a mirror, but it's like looking at a photograph. We don't really see the Lord face to face. That's immediate revelation. But when he shows up immediately and he says, I love you. I've always loved you. I've been with you. Can you imagine that? That's what Peter's talking about in revival. Whom having not seen, ye love and rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You can taste the blessings of the joy of the second coming right now. People have called times of revival days of heaven on earth, when they threw the clock out and God showed up and they had the presidency of the Holy Ghost. I'm saying that happens, beloved. But you got to be willing to climb this mountain to get there. Don't stop until you get to the top by your scaling to the level of comprehending it. Don't stop until you get to the top by your scaling to the level of having some experiencing of it. And finally, don't stop till you get to the top by your scaling to the level of surpassing. Look what it says in verse number 19. It says, and to know the love of Christ, which we just talked about, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled to all the fullness of God. This is where Paul actually was living. And he wanted these saints to know that in all of his churches. And he prayed for that. And he saw revival in that apostolic era. That's what was the norm for the church during this period of time. It is not the norm right now in this Laodicean age, but it can be in our lives. And it's by scaling to the level of surpassing. Now, there was a preacher down south that was speaking on this kind of knowledge, which surpasses knowledge, because he says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. And he was trying to explain it, and he didn't quite get it right. He said, you know, we need the knowledge that surpasses knowledge. We need God to just bring down the knowledge of his love from heaven and just bypass our head and get it into our heart. Well, he was right to say get it into our heart, but not to bypass, but rather surpass. You see the difference? Not bypass your head, but surpass your head. It's in your head. You got it. You get pleasure in it. You meditate. But that's not enough. I've got to know it by experience. It's got to surpass, not just bypass. And you comprehend as you go up to the very summit, the top of the mountain, and you're there, and now you're experiencing days of heaven on earth, and you can kind of know things that you wouldn't ordinarily be able to know, because the Holy Spirit is pouring it out upon you. It was so great with Moody that he had to go into a room in New York City and say, I'm just overcome with the love of God. Jonathan Edwards spoke about it. David Brainerd spoke about it. I dare say not many saints are experiencing this today. Nah, not much. But it's there. And it can be the norm. It was in these days. Now, let me just end by this. D.L. Moody was in a meeting, and he'd experienced these things, and he was having testimony, and a guy, as you've heard me say many times, he stood up, and he said, I got a testimony. He said, what would you like to give testimony? I'd like to tell about my experience with the Holy Ghost and the experience of the love of God. And Moody said, have you won any souls since you've had that experience? And the guy said, well, no, but I want to. He said, sit down. You see, if you are not benefiting others, then you're just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. You're just a big gong. I was telling Brother Z the other night, I was walking around the Viewmont Mall yesterday, and there's a food court there, and then there's Annie's Pretzel. How many of you are following me? You know where I am. There's a food bank there, and there's an Annie Pretzel food court and an Annie Pretzel. And then beyond that, there's a couple of booths, and there is a place where they do Irish paraphernalia just before you get to the where the other part of the mall crosses, you know, as you're coming up past Annie Pretzel right there. And I noticed there's a lady there and then her daughter, about 25-year-old daughter that works there. And I was there and I'm saying, Lord, I want to give the gospel to somebody. I passed by that Irish thing many, many times. They just sit there all the time and they're, you've probably seen it, you know. And there's a daughter and a mother there and I just go by it and I just felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, okay, it's your time now to go witness to that daughter over there. And I went up to her, and she's her name is Lorelei Fanston, and 25-year-old young lady, and she went to all the Catholic parochial school. Good Catholic girl, nice girl. And I showed her my picture with my wife in our church, and told her who I was, and you know, just talking to her. And I said, Lorelei, can I ask you two spiritual questions? And she said, well, sure. And I asked her the two questions, and of course she gave a works answer. She didn't understand. And I went into the gospel with her and went through it, and she was paying rapt attention, hung on every word. And I asked her if she understood. She did, and if she wanted to trust Christ, and she said, yes, I do, Pastor. And she prayed to receive Christ with me. Pray for her. And gave her the track. I said, I'd like to invite you to come out. She said she lives in Blakely. And if you see her, you'll know who I'm talking about. But I'm just saying that these things are meant for us so that we can impact the lives of others. By climbing to the top, God can use us like he used D.L. Moody, like he used Billy Sunday, like he wants to use you wherever you go, because when you've been on that mountaintop, you can really witness. And it impacts people. But climb to the level of comprehending. Climb up to the level, the highest point of experiencing, and climb up to the level of surpassing just comprehending, to being filled to all, listen to me, the fullness of God. Are you content just to stay on the valley or the plain? Or you like Caleb who said, I want that mountain. Pastor, keep exhorting me. By the way, you're not going to get it just by sitting at home and listening to the messages. You need to take in the Word of God, but you need to give out through soul winning and getting involved in giving and giving the gospel, or you're never going to grow. It's your head's just going to get bigger. Like a guy I saw in Muskegon, Michigan, Bobby, his head was this big. It was huge, and his body was just a little, he was in a wheelchair. That's how you're going to be. That'll never help anybody. You'll just be a freak show. Edification, fellowship, adoration, the Lord's table, and worshiping the Lord. And then finally, supplication, praying like we are doing for God's people. Let's bow for prayer. I wonder tonight, you say, preacher, I haven't been encouraged to climb. I've